NST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the spring season here. You know, before I talk to this guy who was my longtime neighbor and councilman in Baltimore City, got to talk about the Maryland Lottery and our friends. Giving away some Betty Boop scratch. Also, we're doing it at the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries. We're going to be at Greenmount Station this week, and then we're moving out to the county. White Marsh will be at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog. From Baltimore with love. We'll be doing that on the 22nd with Andy, and then on the 27th, special Wednesday afternoon at Conrad's Crabs in Perry Hall. I got a lot of accusations when I left the city because we sold our place, and we wanted really wanted to have a garden, and we wanted to have outdoor space. We lived in the sky. We loved it. We miss it. I really missed it. When I was on the phone with a friend on Wednesday night, it was 80 degrees downtown. He said, I'm walking over to Harbor East, and now I'm going to hang out outside. I'm like, the old days. But we still spent plenty of time in the city, and certainly hoping that the news of Harbor Place and Mr. Bramble is going to change things. Eric Costello was my councilman for many, many years, my neighbor. I'll call you a friend at this point, even though we don't agree on everything. But it's good to have you back on, and it's been a while. I mean, I reached you from time to time as my councilman, sometimes on civic issues, sometimes on, hey, can you come on the show? But I thought this was you were the first guy I thought of with Harbor Place, because I've seen the sweat and the blood you put on the bricks down there to try to make the neighborhood better. And even though I left and sold and I looked to move back, and we looked at staying in Federal Hill in a lot of different ways, I am still confident and hopeful that things are getting better in the city. And when I hear news of change, I think good thoughts, Eric.
Hey, Nestor, thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure to be with you. It's been a while. I think last time I was on was beginning of the pandemic with Don.
And we feels like about 100 years ago, right?
Yeah, 10, we were talking masks about ago. That's right. We were talking about economic recovery, if I recall. So news about Harbor Place, David Bramble, MCB Real Estate. David grew up in Baltimore, actually still lives in the district I represent, and has done a number of exciting projects, not only in the city, but throughout the region. And I think David is really the right person to have this project up, really has the capacity to do this project. And I think has the vision to really revitalize Harbor Place in a meaningful way that will kind of recenter it as the not only an attraction for tourists, but more importantly, as a place that celebrates everything that's Baltimore City and local.
Well, the greatest example would be I woke up maybe 3 o'clock in the morning, and one of the first tweets on my timeline was Jane Miller from WBAL, who was a great guest at El Guapo about a month ago. You want to sit down and spend a great hour with the real Jane Miller. Don and I had a chance to do that, but she tweeted that she was at the harbor last night and said there were just a lot of people. Maybe not with the same amount. Anna's Fried Dough's not there anymore. And Phillips O's in over in the harbor. You have to walk to the other end of the harbor. And, you know, Cheesecake Factory's still there. But, you know, M&S and the old City Lights that came probably before you were even here many, many years ago. And places to eat. And I moved downtown in 2003. If you're watching online, this is literally where I lived. There's a picture out my window that I lived 19 years, days, nights, good days, bad days, snowy days, whatever. But when the weather changes, when it's 60 and certainly 70 in March, April, May, November, December, doesn't matter when it is. When the weather gets nice, locals come. And they all come down to the harbor, and whether it's an ice cream cone, an Italian ice, just walking around and having a smooch, bringing something with them, you know, just walking, strolling. My wife, it was our neighborhood for 19 years. We would see it, and they were looking for something. You know, they were looking to be outside. They were looking to be a part of something beautiful. I mean, literally, and I would see them every single night all of my life for 2 decades. So I think, you know, I speak from the heart when I talk about that, that they're looking for something that used to be there, that I remember the day it opened in 1980-81, being down there as a kid on the 4th of July, that I've been going to all my life, doing shows at Hooters back in the early 90s for a decade when the Oriole Park came on, and, you know, walking that promenade with my mother and going and getting surf and turf at Phillips before a Styx concert in 1982, right? So, like, I have all of these memories. People bring special people to the harbor when the weather gets good, and they're looking for something. I don't know what they're looking for. That's for you and Bramble to figure out, and Brandon, right?
Yeah, you know, Monday morning, we were in the Inner Harbor a few hours before the Orioles' first home game on opening day. And it was great. I mean, there were hundreds of families just, you know, walking around in the harbor. There were folks playing live music. There were a few vendors set up, not what is what we're normally accustomed to out there. But there were a ton of families that were just out there enjoying it that clearly were not going to the baseball game. I mean, didn't have baseball merchandise on, you know, you could tell the folks were tourists. But they were enjoying everything. And, you know, I think we need to get back to that. And I think that David really has, you know, the right vision and the right drive and the right capacity to be able to turn this thing around. Unfortunately, it was caught up in a really bad place with previous ownership.
A lot of folks don't understand that, right? Like, these people went broke, and when that happens, there literally is no one caring for it. Like, I think a lot of people thought it was a city property, but it's completely privately owned, right?
Yeah. So the city owns the ground underneath it, but there was a developer / management company from out of town based in New York City who owns a number of flagship properties throughout the United States. They made a decision at some point that they were no longer going to invest in Harbor Place. They were the same entity that owned Cross Keys, which was recently conveyed to a local area developer and is well on its way.
We've had Arsh on the show, by the way. So, yes.
Yep. There you go. So, Caves Valley Partners, they've done a number of great projects in the region and our city, specifically in my district, Cross Street Market, Stadium Square, and Sharp Leadenhall. So that's well on its way to, you know, getting to where it needs to be. And I think when you go through multiple years of really targeted disinvestment in the property, the end result that we have today shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. But now that we're going to be able to get that back into the hands of someone who's local, who understands the importance of it, probably has, you know, similar memories going down there as a kid as you do.
I don't want it to be what I remember as a kid. I want it to be what my grandkids might want to visit 10 years from now, right?
It's not so much what you experienced specifically as a kid or what maybe David experienced specifically as a kid. It's more so that you both understand the importance of those memories from being there as a kid and why that's important and making
sure
that
we bring that. Dude, I never had a date before I was 30 where taking her to the harbor and holding her hand wasn't a good idea. Like, literally, right?
I
mean, like,
that.
Literally, you know, and if it wasn't that, it was when the team came downtown in 92, changed everything for usage of it. Because
sure. If
you were going to ball games, you could stop at Hooters. You can pick up a piece of cheesecake when the Cheesecake Factory was new and shiny and walk around, buy something. I think the whole mall thing, let's start with that malls aren't what they used to be and where we are. But in your mind, you've seen a lot of ideas. I love the glass bridge idea. I've been to London where I see cable cars that could go from Federal Hill across the harbor, you know, quicker ways to get from the Rusty Scupper over to Harbor East, right? Like, without swimming or being a duck or waiting on a water taxi. There's all sorts of issues for the harbor that this thing was designed by a bunch of people in the mid-1970s, right? Like, and not a lot from the Disney World Aquarium Science Center, which was fully functional for four decades, right? That it hasn't been really rethought through or reimagined. And this is a critical point for that to happen.
Right. Look, when Harbor Place came online, it was state of the art, right? And that was, you know, 45 some odd years ago. What we want to see, I think, in the 2020s is a revitalized Harbor Place that is open, that's inclusive. Obviously, real estate has changed drastically in the last 45 years, let alone the last 2 years as a result of the pandemic. So folks are thinking, you know, in all facets of real estate, whether it's office or retail or commercial, residential, everyone is rethinking how they're doing things.
Paradigm shift, literally. The code has changed absolutely everything.
Yeah. So now is, I think now is the perfect time, you know, to re-envision what that place should look like for everyone and start to build it that way. for the next 50 years.
Eric Costello is the councilman in the 11th downtown. He has been a contributor to the show and certainly my councilman for a long time. Let's talk about downtown and the harbor. And, you know, obviously crime leads it, as it always does, and perceptions thereof. I was downtown on Monday for opening day. I mean, it's funny, dude. I left. I sold. I'm just a big traitor to the city. I think I'm in the city 3 days a week as it is. If I'm not in Canton, I'm downtown in Federal Hill. I'm in Hamden. I'm in Mount. Well, I'm everywhere, right? But I was at the harbor. I was down at Lexington Market, quite frankly. I was down at Fadley's and get a crab cake before the game and park my car there. Only $9 to park. It was affordable. I walked six blocks. It was great. To have vibrancy downtown, certainly during the plague, dude, it was some dark days, right? Walking around and everything shut down and, you know, weeds growing up in the cracks in front of Hyatt because it hadn't been open in 6 months or whatever. Just having people back and having an experience that's a quality experience. I'll say this. For anybody that was downtown on Monday, moving around, going to Quigley's, hanging out in front of Hilton or with me and Rob Fahey and 100.7 people, wherever it was, mothers, I didn't make it to Federal Hill or that area, but if you're down that way, God bless you. There's a vibrancy about the city and people not going out for a couple of years that I think there is new hope into this spring and summer that if we can get a control on crime, I know the ghost gun thing, and we had, you know, we arrested this murderer in East Baltimore from La Scala. And so all of these things that have solutions, but part of it is when you come downtown and you do whatever it is you do, Hippodrome, park your car, ball game, harbor, science center, whatever it is, that you have a good experience. And that's where I am as now a guy driving in. I'm having good experiences parking my car, walking around, no different than I ever did. And I, you know, it depends on which news you watch as to what you believe. And I certainly hear that from Oriole fans who want to make their way downtown into my old neighborhood and go to a ball game. And even though I feel the way I feel about the team and the ownership, I am all about go down and experience downtown Baltimore and you'll have a good time. And I tell people that all the time.
Yeah, look, we have incredible world-class assets downtown, right? Whether you talk about the Maryland Science Center or the National Aquarium, whether you talk about the Reginald F. Lewis Museum, the Walters Museum, the Orioles and the Ravens. So we've got some really incredible assets, but we need to make sure that people feel safe. That is our top priority. It has to be our top priority. That decision, you know, that thought needs to go into every single decision that's made. Are we making people feel safe? Right. And we've got to do that in a responsible way. And if we want to bring people back downtown after the pandemic, as we're looking to recover economically, we've got to create an environment that is safe. First and foremost, above everything else, people absolutely need to feel safe.
Well, I think more than anything, and I've had private conversations with you about this, just you're as a councilman, as someone involved in politics, as someone that goes out and talks to people, black people, white people, right people, left people, men, women, all ages, all colors, creeds, all of that, that there is this some sense that you don't really know what's going on. And I think you know far more about what's going on in regard to when there's a carjacking in your district and something bad happens. You've been there to see victims. You've been there to see arrests. You've been there to witnesses, all of these things that happen. You're really privy to how the sausage is made. And I think I know this on a personal level, your concern is real. And I think for people to think that nobody cares now, whether something can be done or whether these guns and we lock people up, put them away. And when they come back and, you know, we've talked to Larry Hogan about what happens when someone commits a crime and they go to jail and we bring them back out on the streets, but they're on your streets and you care a lot. All of you do. And getting to know all of you and having all of you, we just saw Maggie McIntosh leave a couple of days, just Odette, all these people who do what you do. There's a lot of concern. This is, and you all, no one wants to run from the fact that there was a carjacking in your district. You want to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. These are the things that keep me up at night, every single night, trying to think through how to solve crime, how to reduce it. A lot of it is driven by lack of economic opportunity. So a big part of that conversation is how do we provide economic opportunity for people who haven't traditionally had it? But we've got to do both of those things at the same time. We are capable of walking, talking, and chewing gum in Baltimore City at the same time. And we've got to do that. We have to continue the discussion around what we can do to reverse the trends that got us to the place that we're at, where people haven't had economic opportunity. But we've also got to talk about how to keep people safe tonight. And we got to do both of those things. We got to do both of those things with the same level of urgency and the same level of priority and the same level of passion if we really want to make Baltimore City safer forever.
All the fussing and fighting down in D.C. over everything from Putin and money and partisan politics and all those things, the pandemic created some stimulus and some federal money that, quite frankly, is designed to help urban markets. I mean, literally the lifeblood of the state. And we'll get all over this, whether I've got Wes Moore on or Kathy Schultz or who, you know, the other nutball running over on the Eastern Shore. I see his names all over. Whoever wins in this election, and we start to talk about this in the summer, that Baltimore is the economic engine of the state, whether people want to run from that, whether they want to fund it or defund it, whether they want to be a part of it or don't. They think because they're in Hagerstown, Baltimore doesn't matter, or in Eastern Shore. And I'm talking to folks in Ocean City trying to bring people together because they realize the people who come to Ocean City are from Baltimore. And if people in Baltimore have better economic opportunity, have money, they're going to spend their money in Ocean. They're going to stay here. And regionally, the notion that Baltimore would be left for dead in Annapolis, no bueno for me, certainly as a longtime resident of the city, but I do have some hope for better ideas and that when money comes in, it's put to better use in the future. Where are you in seeing any of this, you know, during your time here, your next couple of years, you're going to be serving the city council?
You mentioned the name Maggie McIntosh. Maggie, you know, Delegate McIntosh from the 43rd District, larger than life, the contributions that she's made in however many years in office, I think 30 years, are going to last generations. I think, when you talk about Baltimore, we talk about those amenities, those world-class institutions, having two professional sports teams, punching way out of our weight class nationally when it comes to eds, higher eds, and especially meds. I mean, I would put Baltimore City up with New York City or anywhere else in the country in terms of the quality of our healthcare system here.
My wife's a two-time cancer survivor at Hopkins, so you know this.
Absolutely.
And if she were in Boston, she would have come here, literally.
I mean, I can't tell you how many stories that I've heard from constituents where they've said, you know, my wife's cousin or my dad's brother came into town, has this rare form of cancer or some disease. There are literally two places on the planet where they can get treated. One is in the Eastern Hemisphere and the other is in Baltimore at University of Maryland or at, Hopkins or Mercy or wherever. So we have these incredible assets that draw people here. And I think what you saw during this last legislative session was not only legislators that represent Baltimore City, like Delegate McIntosh, like Senate President Bill Ferguson, like Senator Antonio Hayes, but folks from other jurisdictions, from our sister jurisdictions, understanding the importance of Baltimore. I think you've seen a very regional approach taken by County Executive Johnny Olszewski in Baltimore County, Stuart Pittman in Anne Arundel County, Calvin Ball in Howard County, because they understand that the more successful Baltimore City is, and that really starts downtown, the more successful their counties and jurisdictions are going to be. I mean, Baltimore City is the economic driver for the state of Maryland. Whether people want to acknowledge that or not, we are the largest job center in the state of Maryland. We need to keep that healthy and fueled. And that's going to have a positive impact, not just on downtown and the surrounding neighborhoods, but it provides job opportunities for people throughout our entire city and throughout the region.
Eric Costello here from the downtown district, my former district down in 11 in South Baltimore. What's good news in South Baltimore? Like, so American Visionary Arts, new person coming in. Rebecca's leaving, right? So I'm thinking about the neighborhood here. The Rashfield skateboard thing was beautiful before I left. I saw there was more development going on down there. We are hearing about a new Harvard place now, opening day. The Orioles are back, rolling back ticket prices, letting people come down. There's activity going on now again. Again, as I said 2 years ago, the COVID really took a situation and made it worse. And I feel like people coming out of this thing, and when I was downtown the last 6 months, I saw more people coming out, more businesses, more people just wanting to the berms out in the streets where people were sitting out in restaurants. There was more vibrancy than I think I even saw in 17, 18, 19.
Yeah, we've got a ton of exciting things happening, especially on the South Baltimore Peninsula. Some new restaurants opening up in Locust Point, right over by Anthem House and Anthem House 2. The Local Oyster is opening up there. We've got some new restaurants in the Federal Hill area, new merchants at Cross Street Market. We've got a number of economic development projects that are in the hopper that I think people are going to be really excited about. Port Covington is coming along, five new buildings there. The news about Harbor Place, obviously the recent announcement about the arena and $150 million in private capital being infused to revitalizing the arena. And that facility getting its first makeover in 50 years. So there's some really exciting things happening that I think are going to, you know, continue to shed a positive light on Baltimore City and continue to not just draw visitors in, but to draw new employers in, help to retain existing employers, and help attract new families to the city.
Eric Costello has been my pal. He is, I have voted for him, but never against him. You didn't give me anybody to vote against last time, as I remember it. He's down in the 11th. Last thing for you, just stump speeching and making things better. People, obviously, with what's going on with the Mosby Group and where the city is and people watching Fox News every night, like all of that. For you, you know, you come at this sort of honest. You sort of signed up for this, right? Like, you weren't born in Dundalk into this thing here. You're someone that came here and found some beauty in our city. Much the way my wife and a lot of transplants come here and find that they want to make a life here.
Yeah, Baltimore is an incredible place. I moved here about 15 years ago. Fell in love with it. The second time I visited, the first time I visited was in 2004, and they had cicadas were out.
Okay, they're tasty. They taste good.
I didn't know how I felt about flying cocroaches, but anyway, they are not harmful.
It just means it's a plague.
I know. And my dog loves them, so she eats them right up. Baltimore is an incredible city. Incredible assets here, and more importantly, incredible people. And I think that's what's going to continue to drive the revitalization in Baltimore City. Look, we have our challenges like every other major city in the United States, and we're working through them. We're going to continue to work through them. We are not perfect. We're far from it. But we're going to continue to do everything we can to improve quality of life and improve public safety and improve opportunities for people. And that's what we're going to stay focused on.
Jane Miller came out to El Guapo a couple weeks ago, and she gave me like this great idea. She's like, when I'm out in the county or I'm even in the city, people start slamming the city and I'm not doing this and I'm not going. She said, I shut them right down. Just in the beginning, I'm not going to hear that you're not coming to the city. I don't want to hear, because I live in the city and I spend time in the city, and you're wrong. You can't judge the city from Eldersburg or Bel Air or Timonium based on what led and bled in the news last night. That's unfair. And I think shutting it down is part of my role on that, and opening up the doors to have folks like you tell me about all the good things going on in the city. So especially when I left your district, people give me a hard time. I'm like, my wife wanted fresh air, man. I looked at Howard County. Barry Glassman had me up in Harford County looking around. I looked at all over Baltimore County. I looked in Locust Point. We looked at Federal Hill because we wanted to stay in Federal Hill. Matter of fact, you talk about Arsh. I looked at his place over in Federal Hill over by the stadium. So we looked at places. We just needed a little bit more space because I'm doing radio all day and my wife's engineering all day. So that's pretty much the way that worked out. But you will see me. I'll be no stranger to belly up to the bar at the Cross Street Market picking up some dark ice cream with you. All right?
I have a feeling this isn't your last Baltimore chapter, Nestor. You'll be back. We'll work on it.
Ooh, I like it. You promise. Know, Johnny O hates hearing that. Eric Costello, councilman, once my councilman for Baltimore City. Give us a little update on Harbor Place. Great to have you on, brother. I'm glad I brought you on.
Thanks for having me, Nestor.
You got it, man. See Eric Costello, my dude. Hey, the Maryland Lottery is sponsoring all of our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, as well as Goodwill Industries. We're bringing it on the road this week. Greenmount Station in Hampstead, Maryland. Beautiful Carroll County. great crab cake up there. Got some friends joining us. I'm looking forward to that. Also, next week, we're going to be at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog in White Marsh. That is on the 22nd and the 27th at Conrad's Crabs in Perry Hall. Not White Marsh, Perry Hall. I got to figure out exactly where on Church Road that divides. I'm not really sure. I am Nestor. We are WNST. Write me a note if you know. Send me a note, nest@baltimorepositive.com. We're always talking all sorts of things. Great, great guest this week. John Feinstein joined us. Had a great chat with Michael Olesker about Boogie Wineglass. Don and I got into about opening day and the Orioles and them lying about being sold out on opening day because they were not sold out. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.